Creator, and we thank you for your Son, your creation, your grace, and the plan of salvation that we have for your Son. Help our family to not only just grow in numbers, but to grow in the faith and the love that we have for you. Help us always to remember you in everything that we do. Please watch over us and continue to provide us with the necessities of life. Please forgive us of our wrongs as we repent of them. Be with our sick. Be with our military and their families. We offer this prayer through your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Your holy blood.
We're going to spend the majority of our time this morning focusing on and thinking about the Lord's Supper. Sometimes when we come together, I wonder if we come together to recognize that we do this now, we do this next, we do this next, we do this next, and click, 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 and we're done. I hope we can spend a little more time focusing this morning, because sometimes when we observe the Lord's Supper, I wonder if we give it the time and the recognition it needs. We oftentimes do reflect, of course, on the painful death of our innocent Savior. We're moved to perhaps even sadness and some tears when we think about that death and the pain and the endurance of the things He went through. Other times we may think about the infinite victory of what that death entails and what it illustrates, the victory that Jesus won over the battle of sin. And we perhaps even are moved to a tear, but yet to a great tears of joy in the realization of that. We take the Lord's Supper and we consider the life of Jesus. We consider the faith that is illustrated that we need to have and the challenge that is given to us as disciples of Jesus Christ to live and to be more like Him. On the other hand, we're humbled, knowing that the best life that's lived is a life that is still fully dependent on Him and on His sacrifice. It's a life that we will live that is imperfect. When we take the Lord's Supper, we consider the life of Jesus that was a perfect life, the life that is given as a perfect sacrifice. First idea that we have so often is to lay down the life that He has for us. And I'd like for us to consider this morning that from Luke chapter 22 and in verse 19, there it gives us really in two words, I think, is the essence of those things. It is the words that are the words for you. That this sacrifice is given, this body is given for you. It's given for me. It's the one thing that we must appreciate, that Jesus died for our sins. We oftentimes talk about that from the sake of the idea of He died for the sins of all men. He died for all of mankind. He died that all people could come to Him. He died that everyone had the opportunity. But I wonder if maybe it would be more important for us to, at this time, especially for us to say, He died for you. He died for you. He died for me. And to focus on that individual aspect of that. That you're the one that He loved so much. That you're the one that He would take place for in giving His life. You're the one that He loves enough to prepare a heavenly home for you. You're the one that He didn't just do this for everyone, but He did it for you. We need to focus on that, I believe. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, I hope that we don't spend time just thinking about all the great loss of Jesus, but we also reflect on our need for Jesus ourselves. That His love was so great that He died for you. I think those are huge ideas. They're huge concepts for us to consider. But as we talk about this, oftentimes we start maybe with the idea that, you know, really, do you realize that this occasion and this account and what is given for us, that there is not a name that is given for it. Not a specific name that is given. A proper name. We know names that are remembered to us, and they're names that give us remembrance of these things. One of those names comes from a painter by Da Vinci, who came and painted a famous painting of this occasion, and we remember the Last Supper, because that was the name of the painting. We don't realize it or not, we may not realize it, but that's just simply, that was the name of the painting. That's not the name that's given to us in the Scripture. This was Jesus' final meal. It was His last meal with His disciples before His death. But the description made it just stir in our minds Jesus' words that occur here in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 16. It may give us the thought of really this idea of a Last Supper, where Jesus says, "For I say to you that I shall never again eat it until I finish or fulfilled it in the kingdom of God." But we refer to it as the Last Supper, perhaps, sometimes. We hear a term that's used called Eucharist. You say, "Well, that's a Catholic term." Actually, it's not. That's not a Catholic term. It's actually a term that is translated or transliterated from the Greek. Because in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 16 here, we notice that he says here and that he references and refers to this idea, verse 17 rather, it says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves.'" The term Eucharist is just simply a Greek term. In verse 17, it's the Strong's term that's mentioned there. It's Eucharisto. It's the term that just simply means that idea of being grateful, of giving thanks. And that really should be involved in our partaking of the Lord's Supper. It should be a time of thanksgiving. It should be a time of gratefulness for ourselves. We do ourselves, and we do particularly in the Lord's Church. We talk about the terminology of breaking bread from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. I believe those are appropriate and designating this time of the Lord's Supper. We talk about the idea of the Old King James Version that says communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 16. And so, whether we're talking about breaking of bread, whether we're talking about the communion, whether we're talking about a Eucharist, a time of thanksgiving, of giving thanks, it's best understood, I think, not by the expediency of giving it a name particularly, but it's best understood by taking each one of those ideas and blending them together, because it is a beautiful idea that encourages us to include all of those things. It's observing those actions that are along with those things, give us those things to help us to participate in faithfully observing what Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we remember, and so we often refer to the Lord's Supper. We need to strive to communicate the idea of what is there, not just simply by a name, and not just simply to take maybe all of those things and see how that they go together and how that they help us. I believe it's important for us to remember, as is said there, Luke chapter 22, again, and in verse 7 we see, "The first day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed, he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' And they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, "The teacher says to you, "Where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large furnished upper room to prepare it there.' And they departed and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover." This is a time when we recognize that it's an act of preparation. And I just wonder, are we in that act of preparation, are we ready to welcome the Lord? Are we like, we're never told, once again, and so many of this is so many different places, we're never told the name of someone who did a really important task. It's the name of the man carrying the water pitcher. It leads the disciples to the place to prepare the Passover for him and his disciples to partake of it. If there were not a place, then they wouldn't have some place to prepare it. If it was not, this provision had been made. And yet there was a preparation, and the disciples needed to go and prepare there. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 7 to 13, we notice. I think that kind of leads us to the idea that we need to make some preparation ourselves. There is some physical preparation that comes involved. It's an honor to prepare for this time that we spend together remembering our Lord. It's an honor for us to come together and to remember with the preparations that have been made. There needs to be that physical preparation. There needs to be a mental preparation. It's essential as well. That we essentially remember and realize that those things that are given are things that need to be remembered and that need to be, and the preparation is necessary. The bread that is provided. His body that is described back in John's account in John chapter 6. What is the body of Jesus? What is the body of Jesus described as? Jesus described his body as being that which is given and that which is the bread of heaven himself. In John chapter 6 and in verses 50 and 51, Jesus our Lord says this, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life are the words of the for the life of the world is my flesh." It's the body of Jesus that's given. It's the cup that's prepared, that is poured out. Where it's illustrated for us. It's the fruit of the vine, also known in that way. It's the true covenant in the blood that Jesus describes. It's his love that is made and is illustrated. And in all of this, it's in remembrance. It's that which is given with a mental preparation, as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He talked to them about their preparation and what they needed to prepare and to realize in their minds how they needed to be thinking about the right things. The problem with the Corinthians, of course, was they weren't. They weren't thinking of the right things. They were too concerned about other things. They were concerned about their meal that they were focused on. They needed to be focused on the preparation. They needed to be focused on preparing themselves. And so as we remember together this morning, we need to remember the bread is described as his body. We often say that, but we need to remember that. We need to focus on it. We need to realize and meditate on this memorial. To recognize that the symbolism of the bread that's given here is the bread that is talked about in where Jesus says there in John chapter 6, that is himself. It is his body. He uses that several different times in the scriptures. And of course, the fruit of the vine, that new covenant that is described for us in his blood. And in all of this, it is that which we began and where we began this morning. That is, he says, it is for you. It is for his love. And so I don't want us to miss that point today. And I really think in certain ways, there ought not to be a day that would go by without us hearing and recognizing that Jesus would say, "I love you." God doesn't want you to go a week without hearing him say, "I love you." And to realize that as we come together at this table this morning, that we ought not to go away without hearing that this was for you and I love you. Give thanks for the bread.
Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer at this time to thank you for this opportunity we have to partake of the bread which represents your Son's body. We thank you for your Son and everything that represented and died on the cross of God. In your Son's name. Thank you.
When he had taken some bread and gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I pray that we prepare this morning.
It is not only an act of preparation,
but it's an act of participation. At the time when Jesus desired to share this with his disciples, he had chosen, I believe very specifically, he had chosen it as a time that would be a time that would be for their remembrance and connected to certain things because they were used to using the Passover for that very time as well. It was a remembrance itself, a remembrance for the sacrifice that had been given to save them, to save the people out of Egypt, and the remembrance and the realization of the blood that had been shed. The blood at that time that was shed and by a lamb that was placed over the door on the doorpost and above the lintel so that it would be a sacrifice that was given, a blood that was shed. And they were to participate in several aspects and that the Lord intended for them to participate at this time.
He did intended for at that time for his disciples, he desired to share this with them. In Luke's account again, in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 15, he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He was determined that he wanted this to happen. He was determined that this had to happen before he suffered. And he had made the plans, and no doubt an illustrative of what was given for the plans to be made for it to be had on that evening. In Matthew's account in Matthew 26, in verses 26 and 27, it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" What's described here is a time of them sharing together. It's a time of that which we refer to this occasion as a time of communion. They were communing together. Literally, it was a joint participation in sharing this time together, in sharing this meal together. Literally, to this morning, it is for us to share together. Paul told the Corinthians of that same idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the idea of their sharing together and their communing together with one another. And so it was a time of participation in the establishment of these things, and it was a time that was intended to be a time of participation there forward. And it was a time that was intended for the Corinthians as well as us. It's a time of purpose. Time that there should be a focus and a purpose on what we're doing, that we convene together Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7, the terminology that's used there when it talks about those who had come together, it says the idea there is that they convened together for this very purpose. They had the participation, and the participation in what they were doing was on the first day of the week when they were gathered together to break bread. Paul began talking to them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. They intended to come together for this very purpose, to share together, to commune together, and they had gathered together. And so the focus was on the Lord. Focus was on the Lord, and like he had told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the focus was on the Lord, and it wasn't on lunch. I guess I've done the very thing that I often, I'll be honest, I dislike, for a brother to come up and to say, let's stop thinking about all the things of the world, and then as a result then I just did it myself. Because I start saying, okay, I've got to bring all my thoughts in all of a sudden, because my thoughts started scattering. Oh, but it doesn't scatter to your lunch now. Focus on the Lord. Focus on those things. Jesus' command to take and eat and to drink. And his invitation was to be a part of this, and his invitation was to be a part of this, was to be a part of his family. We are his disciples. We are the people who, the only people, truly, who can truly participate in those things that are described here. If we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ and truly Christians, it's an act of proclamation. Like the Passover itself, the Passover was just as well. The Lord's Supper is a continual testimony of God's grace. It's a continual testimony of the fact that God has provided for us that which we could not provide for ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 26, as Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you shall proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a proclamation of his death, a proclamation that he died for me, that he died for you. It's a proclamation that God has provided. He's provided a new beginning for us. In doing this, as he talks about in Exodus chapter 12, for his Passover, what he talked about for his those who would follow him in that, out of Egypt at that time, that it would be a new beginning for them. It would be a time that would remember and remind them, not just of the times that had gone by, but a new beginning that they were having as a result of that. It would remind them and realize that God, it helps us to proclaim that God has provided a spotless lamb for the Passover. That was required in as much as was possible. But it was required in this event because it was a spotless lamb, one who was free from all sin. Jesus was the only one that could fulfill that. Jesus was the only one that could accomplish that. And God has, it tells us and it proclaims that God has provided freedom. God has provided freedom, just like Exodus chapter 13 and verse 8 describes, that it is freedom that is given to his people in that day, and it is freedom that is given to us. Those are more than just concepts, I hope, that we read about. I hope they become things that we learn and know more and more about. I hope they are concepts that we seek to not just know, but to tell. They're concepts that we seek to tell others about. And our coming together on the first day of the week is not, well, do we just have to go to church? But are we proclaiming that this is a remembrance and a realization of the grace of God? Are we proclaiming that we have a new beginning that is found only in Christ Jesus? Are we proclaiming that he is our spotless lamb? And without that sacrifice of that spotless lamb, there would be no hope for me. And then we're proclaiming that God has provided that freedom that has given me the hope that is in Jesus Christ. It's that freedom that is given. For the passage has been noted for our reading for this morning, really. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? There is no condemnation. Paul has just been describing and talking about the battle of the flesh and the spirit that he endures himself and he goes through. Why is it that there is no condemnation? Because those are those who are in Christ Jesus. In verse 34, he says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who also intercedes for us. We need to understand that word intercession that's used there, and that intercession that's described there is not about prayer. It's intercession for sin. It is the Lamb that has offered his blood, that has interceded for our sins. He has interceded for us. Now, when it comes to prayer, we're told that the Holy Spirit intercedes and speaks of the things even that we are not able to say ourselves. I think we need to be a little more careful about that sometimes. Focus, because there's a great and vast importance of that, of the fact that this is an act of proclamation, a proclamation that he intercedes for us because of the fact that his blood has been shed. In the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. It proclaims that new covenant. Let's pray.
Our God, Father in heaven, we praise you for your wisdom in setting up for us this beautiful ceremony. And we praise you for the elegant simplicity of this symbolic meal shared among brothers and sisters that brings to mind so much, through which you remind us on a regular basis that you love us and that you have given so much for our well-being. Lord, we praise you and are overwhelmed by the implications of this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ and the true power that he brought into this world. That though his teachings were incisive and powerful, and though his miracles were incredible and marvelous, it was this blood, and this blood alone, that he shed by way of his willing and innocent sacrifice that could cleanse us of our sins. Lord, we praise you for Christ, the Lamb of God, that like the Passover lamb, his blood covers our doorposts, just as that blood warded off the angel of death. So this blood sets us free from the law of sin and death and brings us into the glorious light, the new law, the new covenant, the new testament, and the new way by which we need only trust and obey your Son's example and express our love to him and to all we come in contact with. Lord, we praise you for this. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've just been granted to come together as a part of the body of Christ, to remember you, to show you the love and respect that you have already shown us. Yet, in our sin, that love that you have provided us and the example that you have provided us to follow through your perfect Son, Jesus. I think of Corinthians 13:4, as your word describes that love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag, does not yearn, does not act unkindly. It does not seek its own, does not provoke me, does not take into account wrong suffering. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And you have shown us, through your living word, through your Son and sacrifice, that he has made for us exactly what love is. I pray today that each heart is touched with your word, and that anyone that has not accepted it, Jesus as Lord and Savior, is touched in a way that their heart is open and that they reach out for the love that you have ready to give, that you're already showing. As that you guide us so that we understand your word. Help us to understand, help us to hear with an open mind and accept, so that as those within the body of Christ, we can glorify you, and that our worship will be found faithful, true, and acceptable in your sight.
I could, I'd like to read a few verses of the song. Faithful love. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole. Saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love is a friend,
just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch, full of grace. Make the love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered ground makes me whole, saves my soul, marches higher than stone. Faithful love calms his fear, reaches down, bright his cheer, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above, into earth to show Father's love, and of heaven be the same. For I see faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend, just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love, from above, came through earth to show Father's love, and of heaven be the same. For I see faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
If you'd like mark number 73, there'll be a song of invitation here in a few moments. Since we seek to do things according to biblical example, now I get to preach till midnight, right? When we think about the Lord's Supper, certainly there's a lingering question that remains. The lingering question really is, and maybe we've thought of it in specifics, and maybe we've not, the question really is, wasn't there any other way? Wasn't there any other way than for Jesus to die? Wasn't there any other way than the Son of Man to have to come, Son of God, to have to come as man and to come and to give his life on the cross for us? In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 42, from our context of where Jesus describes to his disciples what this was all about, he says, saying, speaking of the prayer that's offering, he began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. As Jesus goes into the garden, Jesus was still asking, is there another way? Although he knew, he realized, certainly himself, Jesus' sacrifice was the best way. It was the best way because it was the most loving. It was the way that showed us truly is, surely how would it be, or what would we think, if God just simply said, you need to understand I love you. Be sure you know that. It's the sacrifice of Jesus that shows that. It's the sacrifice of Jesus that makes that real, that makes that truly a sacrifice, and it truly gives himself. It was loving. It was the most priceless way. The priceless way of sacrificing himself as being a sinless sacrifice. He was a sacrifice of giving himself. I can't help but think in certain terms of the idea that how many of us would have felt like that as we often look forward to heaven, as we look forward to being in the presence of God, if we were in his presence, if we were in God's presence, and how many of us would want to leave and to come here? He showed his love because it was the most priceless and loving sacrifice. It was the best way. to make sure that he offered that sacrifice and that forgiveness. And it was the most God-glorifying. It was the way that we glorify God and that we give him all the honor and the glory that he deserved. It's the best way. We make all types of superlatives and have all types of superlatives that are never ending. We talk about things being the absolute best. They could have done nothing else, that God could have done nothing better. God's love demanded that he provided the most effective, the most holy, the most loving, and the most glorifying plan that was possible. It had to be the plan that was the perfect plan. It was the plan of Jesus himself. The plan was his perfect son. Other ways could have been thought of, perhaps, but nothing would have been as effective. Nothing would have been that would have answered that true question. And what we see in all of this is that he chose to lay down his life for each of us. In John chapter 10, in verses 17 and 18, we see that Jesus describes that giving of himself and describes that laying down of his life. He says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father." Jesus said, I have the authority. I have the option, if you will, to say no, but he wouldn't. He was so loving. He loved us enough. And so the question is, was there any other way? And the answer really becomes, no, there wasn't any other way. But for a sinless lamb to be offered and be sacrificed for you so that you can have your sins forgiven. And that if you have that desire to have your sins forgiven, you have that desire to be a child of God, a Christian, one who seeks to serve Jesus as your Messiah, as the Savior, we realize that those aren't just titles, but they are terms that really have to be real to us. That we don't just call him those things, but he really should be that to us. That he is truly the one that has saved me from all of my sins. He is the one who has given me the perfect sacrifice. And he's given you that sacrifice. If you're here this morning and you desire to serve him, you could come on each first day of the week and you could remember the remembrance that we have this morning of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ being shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can come in contact with that blood, we're told in the Scriptures, by coming in contact with the waters of baptism, being baptized into him, likened, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, to his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He had the ability to lay it down, his life, and to take it up again. He has the ability to, as we are laid down in the waters of baptism, to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from those sins and to bring us up again to a life that is a new life, a life that is lived a different way. If you're here this morning, you desire that life, desire to respond to that invitation, we'd invite you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.
Worthy he who overcame the world.
Familiar person to most of us here, and said that he is moving back to this area, desires to come and be a part of this local group, and so we will get a chance, opportunity to sit down and to talk with him ourselves as we normally do with the elders, and appreciate those who desire to come and be with us and come and desire to be a part of this local group here. Let's have our deal with him. And serve one other. On the first day of the week, part of our desire is to come together to worship and realize that we have been given so much. Surely and hopefully we've learned that and realized that this morning. And yet in all of that, to realize that because God has given us so much, there's a need for us to continue to give back to Him on a regular basis. We do that each first day of the week, and we'll do that at this time. So we'll have a prayer and then offer and ask for the question.
Would you bow with me, please? Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we once again come before you, humbly bowing in your presence. We have so much to truly be thankful for this morning, dear God. We have had this time to remember your Son, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all the love that you have for us, dear God, and everything good in our lives comes from you abiding in us and being active in our lives each and every day that we live. We take this privilege and opportunity, dear God, to give back on a small portion of that which you have so richly blessed us with. My prayer this morning, dear God, is that each and every one who gives back this morning does so with a cheerful and a loving heart as you have loved us. I also pray that this money that is taken up is used in accordance with your word, that would spread your word, dear God, and bring others closer to you. And that is our goal, and is your goal, dear God, is your service, that everyone would come to you, dear God, and be saved and have the opportunity to come to heaven and meet with you. I pray all these things in your Son, Jesus, most holy. Amen.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He is so real to me. He saved my soul.
Greatly appreciated to this congregation. I'm glad to see Brother Levin back with us.
want to remind everyone, I know I went over it each and every time I come up here, but there's a reason behind it, is to sign up for our singing and song service for the fourth Sunday or fifth Sunday, whatever it may be. And the requirement is 15, so we need to check on that. And also, we're coming together tonight at 5:30 for song practice for anyone who would like to attend that and be with us for that. And it's been brought to my attention that Linda Jimerson has been having some severe back problems, and she has done some tests, and they're kind of ruling out the heart, but they're still doing some tests, and they said that they're still looking into that. And I want to remember June, the reason, you know, for her not being here. I want to remind everyone of our Bible study at 9 a.m. each and every Sunday. Worship service is at 10, and we come together at Sunday night at 6 o'clock for service again, and again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Is anything that needs to be mentioned at this present time that I overlooked, Jim?
Yeah, I have a problem. It's rather lengthy, so I thought I'd do it myself. I was talking to my mom the other day, and she wanted to make some prayer requests with you all. My cousin Randy, who lives in Michigan, he's been suffering since he was a little boy. This skin growth that grows over like his eye and his mouth. It's sort of like, if you know the story of the Elephant Man. Okay, he has that, and he just turned 50, and he's in a lot of pain. So remember him. And my Uncle Martin, which is my mom's brother, he's a member of the church and a missionary. He has a grandson that is going through chemo, very strong chemotherapy. He has cancer. And I want to pray for him. His name is Colby. And also his younger brother, Dylan, who is going to be the bone marrow transplant. So, and also, my mom usually doesn't tell me what's wrong with her. She doesn't like to burden people with her problems. But she did tell me she has had breast cancer and lung cancer before. And she said that the doctor was concerned about her sore rib on that same side. And she's going in for tests of bone scan. So remember my mom also. I know it's a lot to take in, but she has to pray.
We have our closing song and our closing prayer. Stand up. Sing and pray.
For all that you've done, I want to thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are. And all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you.
Precious Father God in heaven, it has been a special morning. Your blessings have been felt. We have been lifted up. I thank you for a little longer time to remember Jesus. To remember, Father, that which we have in common that we call communion and fellowship. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of all that was involved in remembering Jesus. You brought to us, Father, that which has been your plan from ancient times, that we have Jesus. And between you and us and everything else, it's all about Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for this special, special moment, which even brings us the truth of the high priesthood of our Jesus, taking us back to Abraham's time. Father God in heaven, make us a blessing to others. Keep in our hearts, Father, that which is love, that which we receive so abundantly, and sometimes are a little bit selfish with it, Father. Help us to give more and receive less. And bring us back, Father, for another blessing at another time schedule. And I thank you in the name of Jesus.